Now, the Friday political panel is assembled. Before you hear from them, let's take a listen to the week in politics.
The raw number's not too different, but the reality is, where do we need them? We don't need them in the great urban metroplex.
Saying it all along, it's 130,000, it's 130,000, it's 130,000 net overseas migration.
They've got to make up their minds where they sit on all of this. They're all over the shop.
The budget represents where we believe net overseas migration is tracking and where it should go. In terms of broader reforms, I promise it will be a very, very public announcement.
Don't believe everything you read in the Fin.
I think every Western Australian is both relieved and pleased to hear the words from the Prime Minister.
There will be no change to WA's GST arrangements whilst I'm Prime Minister.
I don't think there's anyone outside of Western Australia who thinks it's a great deal.
Our view is that a line was crossed in terms of the nature of those comments from the Western Australian Premier.
We're requiring new data centres to bring their own new renewable energy.
The Territory should be able to decide its energy policy and its energy mix.
We want to make sure that in attracting investment, we don't have eight different systems.
It's a good win, but a win for everyone and an acknowledgement on that point of difference. And I think that shows if you work collaboratively, you can get a good opportunity on things.
We are currently deploying further DFAT personnel, including crisis response experts to the region. I've asked DFAT to ensure that we do provide the support needed to these posts, particularly our post in Nepal.
It's the week in federal politics there. Well, to break it all down for you, the Friday political panel is here. Mark Kenny is Director of the Australian Studies Institute at the ANU and host of the Democracy Sausage podcast. Mark, welcome back.
Hi there, Sally.
Tom McElroy is the Guardian's political editor and has taken a long trip down the corridor to be with us this morning. Hiya, Tom. Welcome back.
Great to be back, Sally. Thanks.
And Stephanie Boris, our very own political correspondent for Radio National Breakfast. There's been a lot of confusion shifting around on numbers with immigration this week for a number of players. What have you made of it, Mark?
Well, the thing that's really struck me, Sally, about this whole immigration debate is the extent to which all three parties, if I can put it like that, all three sort of key interests, the Labor government, the coalition, and the, you know, the new insurgent force of One Nation, they're all confused. None of them seem to be able to articulate a clear story on this. Now, this is an inherently complex area. It's got social and political and economic implications to it, and there are sectional interests, states, industry, and so forth. But it's really remarkable the extent to which there's just so much confusion and so much is on hold at the moment. I've got no idea what voters are making of it. I suspect they're just as bemused as I am.
Tom, what happened yesterday with the PM and the refugee numbers from the government's perspective?
The fact that the refugee intake cap of 20,000 per year was being brought down was revealed. The position from the government in the morning was that had already happened. It wasn't new news, nothing to see here. Later in the day, the PM spoke at the News Corp event in Dubbo and sought to dismiss it but didn't actually say what the problem with the story was. And then later in the day came in over the top and said, no, we're staying at 20,000, shut down the debate. So it was a bit unclear, but people in the refugee sector had believed that the number was coming down. And as I say, the message from Labor was that this was sorted, no news. So it was messy. And it points to the difficult internal ructions that's going on the question of migration, how you bring down net overseas migration. You know, we were expecting Tony Burke's speech a few weeks ago. That remains on hold at the moment. And it's, I think, starting to show a bit of unsettledness within the government and some questions about what the hell's going on.
And Steph, we started the week with David Farley on Insiders from One Nation. One Nation started the week putting out fires of its own when it came to immigration numbers.
Yes, but I think more fires have actually just started yesterday again with the One Nation leader, Pauline Hanson. So we'll go back to Sunday. David Farley rattled off various numbers, which I'm not going to go through because I think it just confuses people even more. One Nation leader Pauline Hanson came out saying, that's not quite right, this is our proposal. She was at the Bush summit yesterday as well, like the Prime Minister. And the figure she gave was this 130,000 for the net overseas migration plus other aspects like plus palm workers, but it shows she doesn't understand the palm worker scheme because a number of those palm workers are actually included in the net overseas migration figure. So she's got the numbers wrong as well. And I think it goes back to what Mark was saying. There is just so much confusion in this space. There are so many different opinions on how to manage it. And there's so many different ways of what you could change to make it work. This fascination on net overseas migration, it's sort of become a thing over the past few years. It wasn't something 10 years ago. It's an imperfect measure, and maybe that's part of the difficulty around these political parties trying to explain where they stand.
Let's talk about another political issue this week, and that is the GST distribution deal. There's been a bit of a war of words over that. People working for the Productivity Commission, almost sounds like a band name, were described as East Coast clowns, and there's been some pushback on that. Politically, what's at stake here for the federal government? Why is the Prime Minister holding the line with this deal with the West, Mark?
Well, the calculation the PM seems to have made is that there isn't a great deal of political risk in the status quo. The risk lay in making a change, and that risk is primarily an electoral one. In 2022, WA was, I mean, partly because of the time difference, you know, the polls closed later in WA than everywhere else, and so there's that sense in which in a close election you can actually see the WA seats, the results in WA seats actually sort of feel like temporarily they are sort of deciding the election. They're no more so than the other states, but there's no question that doing well in WA is important to the government. We saw that in 2022. Obviously, it was a big win in 2025. PM's been to WA, I think Roger Cook, the Premier, said 45 times. That is an enormous number of times. That underscores the level of concern that the government has about maintaining its support there. You know, it's seen as the economic engine room of the country in some ways because of its resources and the like. So this is really what this is about. This is about politics. So we've got a circumstance where WA gets a more favourable deal as a result of the circumstances that prevail at the moment, according to the Morrison 2018 GST formula. The other states don't like it, but in the end, what's that going to amount to? Probably not much more than a hill of beans.
Tom, what did you make of the interim report from the Productivity Commission?
Well, I think it's important that we acknowledge that it said that it's unfair and that it's not achieving what it was set out to do. I thought there was some unbecoming rhetoric from people like Roger Cook throwing his toys out of the cot at the suggestion that this extremely generous deal might be changed. I think there is no question Anthony Albanese is not changing it and the Coalition aren't going to change it either. Too many seats on the line. What happens after that is interesting. You know, the other premiers are allowed and justified in saying, well, hang on, why is this huge amount of money going east to west when we're supposed to have a system based on relativities? And I thought it was good that the Productivity Commission this week spoke up in their own defence. You know, they're an independent organisation. They're a group of serious people doing important
their job.
Work.
Mm.
And we don't need these kind of parochial and unbecoming attacks.
Data centres has also been an issue that the states have been discussing this week with National Cabinet, Steph. National Cabinet this week, the future of data centres, despite federal government saying ahead of the meeting that all new data centres will need to run off renewable sourced energy, with gas as a firming option, Queensland and the NT have secured some concessions.
Comes back to my love of pressing the fact that we're a federation and nothing is easy in Australia. The Prime Minister can say what he wants, but in the end he does have to work with all the states and territories to come up with a final solution. We've seen him move some ground on these data centres, as you've just mentioned. The NT and Queensland can use other forms of energy if and where they see fit. For Mr Albanese in this case, he believed that it was better to sort of give some leeway than to keep pushing in what he wanted. We can see in other areas like guns, they still didn't come to an agreement on the buyback scheme there. So you sort of win some, you lose some, you go down the middle path. And in this one, there is a desire to ensure that data centres are built here, that, you know, they don't go to other countries. The government doesn't want to lose that potential investment. So the Prime Minister basically had no choice but to find this middle ground that was announced earlier this week.
It was really fascinating to me that, if you look at the sort of political campaigning beforehand, that Chris Bowen was talking very tough on this issue. Mm. He was implying pretty strongly, pretty directly, that Section 109 of the Constitution would be used, the federal government government's power to override the states where those laws conflict. None of that came out of the meeting. It was a much more consensual thing. So we see this kind of pattern, really, from Anthony Albanese, where he's into conflict minimisation, and it's often these sectional interests. And if we look at the Federation, sectional can mean states that prevail, and we saw that happening with gambling, and we see it happening in a number of areas as well.
Tom, just finally, WA state by-election in one of my, I think it's one of my favourite electorate names, yes. Secret Harbour.
It sounds like a Chris Hammer mystery
yes,
novel.
I was about to say the exact same thing. We should tell him that
it
idea.
It does. It's a great electorate name. What's at stake in WA with this?
Well, it's another of these high-profile tests of the difference on the right side of politics is Pauline Hanson's surge in public support reflected on the ground? I suspect it will be. And what does that mean for the Liberals, in this case the state Liberals? Are they running dead? Are they happy with any result that isn't a Labor win? I think the broader national implication is how the coalition federally interact ahead of the next election with One Nation. Do they collaborate? Do they cooperate? Or do they fight back, as Andrew Hastie says they should? Or where the preference deals and those kind of things settle, you know, that could very quickly have national implications. So it's a little, what is it? It's like a fortune telling for the whole country.
But there is also implications, I think, for Labor as well here. This is a Labor seat, a safe
That's,
Labor
this
seat.
This is interesting, yeah, compared
and,
to...
And I think what this shows, as South Australia showed, is that the One Nation story is one that needs to be seen through a Labor lens as well. Labor is losing support to One Nation in some of those traditional working class areas out of suburban.
Good
That's
point.
What this seat is. So, yeah, it's really going to be fascinating to watch.
Well, the clock has beaten us. We can't afford overtime for both of you, all of you, so we'll have to leave it there. Mark Kenny, thanks so much for coming in this morning.
Thanks, Ellie.
Mark Kenny, Director of the Australian Studies Institute at ANU, host of the Democracy Sausage podcast. Tom McElroy is a political editor at The Guardian. Tom, great to have you back in.
Thanks,
Ellie. And Stephanie Boris, thank you very much.
Thanks, Ellie.